Blog Talk Radio.
First time in my life, I'm proud of not involved. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to tell you, girl. Cause I love you. Believe that. If I can't have you, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Listen to me.
So many people never find the one. That's why I really wanna tell you some. I really think this is it for me. I really think you're the one I need. I done had them all. I don't want nobody but you. Oh, darling. Honey, let me break it down. See, we living in a lonely world. Ain't too tired of the running round. Don't you wanna be my only girl? Baby, can I be the one you call? You're tired of the lies. The truth is all you wanna hear. Well, if you swear, baby, here I am. I'm your man. To my shoes. Girl, if we gon' work, then I need the same for you. I know that so many other dudes cheat, but so many dudes on me. Give me my pick, cause when it's time, and I'll pick you, girl, every time. I just wanna break it down. See, we're living in a lonely world, girl. If you're tired of running around, don't you wanna be my only girl? Baby, can I be the one you call when you're tired of the lies and truth is all you wanna hear? If you swear. So you know what you're living for. This goes out to all my lovers tonight. And if you're listening to my groove and your baby's next to you, tell them you are all I need and I'll never let go. Into rushing.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Tony and Kai Show with your host, Kaixa Rodriguez and Tony Wade. We are so happy this evening to have in our presence another doctor. We did a doctor last week, and we are doing another one this week. And she is a special kind of doctor, so I am really, really, really orgasmical medicine. She's going to tell us what that means. She's going to tell us what she does. She's going to tell us about all of that type of stuff. I know you guys have been looking forward to this show because I know I have been. Orgasmical medicine, that just sounds like something crazy to me. Don't that sound good? I think that sounds really good. I can't wait. That sounds crazy. I can't wait to hear it. I can't wait to find out what it is that she does and get to the bottom of it. We're not going to spend a lot of time tonight doing our back thing because, you know, we do this every week. You know who we are. We are Tony and Kai, and Tony is kind of incognito tonight. He's taking care of some house things, but hopefully he will be able to join us before the end of the show and come in and give his two cents on things. But if not, you know, he is never too far and too far forgotten from my mind this evening. But I'm going to get right to our guest. I'm not going to waste any time because I want to give her more than her 20 minutes if we can. We got about 25 left right now. So I'm going to get her on in here so that we can let her talk and we can see what she does. Hi, Shelly. How are you?
Amazing. How are you, darling? That was a lovely little introduction there.
You are so welcome. I am burning up hot here in Virginia. Blazing. I don't know where you are. Are you on the West Coast? So you've got to be hot as well.
Oh, yeah. I'm in Phoenix, so it is hot, hot, hot here.
Oh, my goodness. You are in Arizona. How is the weather there? Tony's sister lives and not Phoenix, I forgot the name of the town, I wish she was in here to say, but she just moved recently to Arizona from Massachusetts. So big temperature difference. How is the weather there?
You know, I absolutely love it. I'm originally from Ohio, and I cannot stand the humidity. So I'm an ocean girl, so I thought I was going to be moving to the ocean, but I chose the desert. But, you know, it grows on you. Just where I live, I'm two rows away from the mountain, and it's just so beautiful. Now, they do say dry heat. Yeah, it is dry heat. I will say that. But, you know, when it gets past, like, 107, 108, you just feel like you're walking into an oven. I'm sorry. It's hot.
I'm so sure you are. You are absolutely gorgeous. If you guys have not seen her website and seen her picture, she is absolutely gorgeous. So, guys, go check it out. Go check out her website. You're gorgeous. You're totally gorgeous.
Thank you,
so. You are so welcome. So let's see.
It's all the energetic energy.
There you go, see? So you are the founder of Orgasmical Medicine, and you have an extensive background in chiropractic, but they know what I mean, exercise science, quantum physics. I'm not going to say that other word. We're going to tantra and human sexuality. You can say, what's that other one?
Which one did
something
you miss?
Something
Ayurvedic. Oh, Ayurvedic medicine, yes.
Looks like some Greek letters. So why don't you let us know how this is and what you do?
Absolutely. So a lot of people go, well, how did you go from being a chiropractor to a sexual fitness trainer and an orgasmologist? And I've got quite the interesting past. I've always been in tune with my body. I've always been a very sexual person. I started masturbating at the age of 2, so I'm a little out there. And I used to do sex and relationships like a man. I didn't do it like a woman where I need the emotions or I need to know your name or number and I'm going to call you tomorrow and I want a relationship. I put my career first. And I think that had a lot to do with, one, where I was at in my life, and two, who I am today and what I can facilitate for men and women worldwide. But throughout chiropractic school, I was studying multiple modalities, really just adding a lot of stuff to my tool bag to be able to facilitate my patients later in life. And I came across this approach that actually unleashed this sexual energy power inside of my body. And I started having these full-body orgasms on a chiropractic adjustment table. And I went, wait a second. Is everybody having this? And I realized, no, not everybody is having this experience. So what is this? And the founder of the approach, she threw out words like tantra, kundalini, Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, meridians, acupuncture. So she threw out a lot of, you know, these ancient teachings and wisdom that have been passed down. And I just started studying all of that beyond chiropractic. So I studied Ayurvedic medicine, tantra, human sexuality, kundalini, yoga, this, that, you name it. I studied it. And it wasn't really until I met my now husband 3 years ago that I kind of started piecing all of this information that I had gathered along the way together when he awoke me to this fact that a lot more women than I think have, you know, sexual and orgasmic struggles. And, you know, I was facilitating a lot of women and body image issues and feminine issues and relationship issues, but I started digging deeper into the sexual realm and I realized that often the root cause of whatever is coming out of their mouth that they want facilitation or help with kind of always went back to their sexuality. So that's when I really started piecing the puzzles together and looking at this bigger picture of, well, wait a second, what did I tap into? And if I could tap into it in the middle of a seminar room, for all of these women out there struggling, I obviously can teach them. Whether or not they have a partner, it doesn't matter, because I didn't have a partner when I was tapping into it. And that's one of the things my husband brought to my awareness. He was like, did you ever have these kind of deep emotional healing orgasms in the bedroom? And I went, well, no. So I'm like, okay, what's the difference here? And then it's actually interesting. Yeah. He saw me get adjusted once. And after that, he was able to take my body beyond all of the different levels that I could go during an adjustment. And now it's just, it's beyond my imagination. He continues to amaze me. I'm like, wow, my body can go further. I can have more pleasure. I can have another kind of orgasm. Oh, my God.
Wow. So when you began down this journey, what was some of the, you know, what are some of the major barriers or things? You know, I'm sure people were like, you're doing what? Or, you know, where do you go to get to school to get that type of training? Like, how hard was it for you to break into this industry?
You know, it actually wasn't that hard. I had a practice for a couple of years, but I had a very traditional kind of chiropractic practice, although I utilized my approach. But I just got burnt out because I wanted to give people so much change, but they didn't want it. They wanted the quick in and out adjustment. And I often worked with people for 30 minutes at a time, wanting to look at the spiritual, mental, emotional aspects to what's going on with them physically. So I got burnt out in the chiropractic realm just with insurance and Medicare and whatnot, and I realized, okay, I really like teaching classes. I like writing books. I like being in front of people. But my journey took me to Portugal, and then I came back to the States, which is when I met my husband after I lived in Portugal for 6 months and had a practice there. But I was also teaching for an empowerment organization for about 6 years. And through the empowerment organization, that's where I really gained a lot of my client base as well as my resources for teaching workshops and being a facilitator of this kind of work, because I was teaching things on body image issues and relationships and how to be feminine and how to be sensual. So it's similar to life coaching, but not really.
Okay.
So then from there, I created a women's organization where I was just empowering women to really be feminine and sensual and sexual and orgasmic. And that started shifting when men started asking for my resources and wisdom. I'm like, well, I can't send them to my female-only website, so let me create this new umbrella to embody everything that I offer. So my business has changed along the way, but it was fairly easy to, you know, just put it out there and say, hey, this is what I'm doing. And I mean, yeah, I got a little bit of resistance. I still do get a little bit of resistance, but within the first 9 months of, you know, actually having Orgasmical Medicine be my official name for my business, I got asked by CBS to do an interview. So I'm like, wow, if CBS actually wants to have me on air, then obviously there's, you know, a change or a revolution occurring in society where people are a little bit more open to the quote-unquote taboo topics.
Yeah. And I think that's the, you know, sex over here on the Western world is definitely a taboo subject. It's, you know, not across the board, but in a lot of cultures, especially with women, there's a lot of things, even if you find it within relationships, it's crazy how you get into a relationship with someone and then sex is the one thing that y'all don't want to talk about.
Well, that's just it. You know, more than half of all couples are uncomfortable talking about what they do in the bedroom. But this is an activity that you do with only your partner. So why are you uncomfortable talking about that? That's always mind-boggled me.
It's crazy, but it's true. It's totally true. What have you found to be, I don't know if there's been like one big overall type of, I don't want to say issue, but topic that people come to you with the most?
It depends if it's a female, a male, or a couple coming to me. With women, a lot of times it really starts with the body image issues because that implies a couple of different things. Number one, they're not liking their body, so they're not comfortable in their own skin. They're not feeling sexy. They're not feeling confident. They have an overactive mind of that body judgment. Every time they look in the mirror, it's like, oh, I just don't like my body. So that transposes over into the bedroom. And science actually shows that your brain has to start shutting down at the time of arousal for you to even have an orgasm. And that part of your brain that has to shut down regulates control, fear, and anxiety, which all of that goes back to the judgment, the, you know, fear of, is my partner not going to like my cellulite or my, you know, stretch marks or my little muffin top? You know, we got to have sex with the lights off, the anxiety about it, the performance anxiety, all the way down to, you know, I don't know if I can even have an orgasm. So you start feeling fear and control and anxiety around that issue. And then from there, if your brain is overactive and you have that laundry list of, well, I got to do this, I got to do that, then you have stress and worries of how much money's in your bank account, all of that is pushing pleasure further and further away from you, which is contributing to a lot of women being unable to have an orgasm. So oftentimes, level one with me is we got to peel away all the layers of body image issues. If women are being more masculine, because we're living in a very masculine dominant society, more and more women are, you know, pursuing to own their own businesses, to climb the corporate ladder. So they're being more masculine, and that now also comes into the bedroom and in their relationship. And as I say, opposites attract. Well, that doesn't mean interest, opposite interest, but it means opposite energies. The masculine and the feminine is really what is creating that opposite attraction, which creates more of a sexual attraction. So if you're being more masculine as a female and you have a masculine male partner, you're kind of going to butt heads, which is what leads to the sexless relationships that we're seeing a lot more of, which then leads to more divorces.
Now, I have a question from one of my fellow listeners. She sent it in earlier, just in case she wasn't able to be on the show. She could go back and listen to the archive. But what would you say to a couple that is having issues? She has been abused, you know, when she was younger, so she's not used to being assertive in the bedroom. She's used to people taking, not, you know, actually asking for permission. So now that she's in love and she's found a really good husband, their issue is he would like her to initiate a little bit more, and she's not totally comfortable initiating. She feels if she gets in bed naked, that's her initiation. And he's like, okay, that's not initiation. That's just you get into bed naked. And she's like, well, you're a guy. I'm in bed naked. That should turn you on. And he wants a little bit more. So how do they, how would you talk to them to try to help them?
Absolutely. So number one, communication is key. So the more communication you can have with your partner and just be totally open, honest, vulnerable about what is showing up, what emotions are going through your body in that moment of, hey, I tried initiating and I hit a roadblock, the better your partner will be able to understand you. Again, communicate, especially about these taboo topics that are a little bit harder to communicate. And then number two, for her, since she has been abused, there are these feedback loops in the body that actually affect our brain. And it changes our chemicals, it changes the signals that, you know, get sent down to our genitals to tell us to be turned on and aroused. So there are levels and programs and different things that you can do that will help you to start reprogramming that. And oftentimes, if the abuse was in your early childhood, a lot of our beliefs that we have running in our subconscious mind were wired into our brain before the age of six as well. So now we have whatever abuse and trauma that we've incurred, whatever programming and beliefs that we have, all of those beliefs that women aren't supposed to initiate, they're not supposed to ask for what they want, they can't do this, they can't do that, all of that is now inhibiting us from having a voice, from feeling confident, from feeling like we can just initiate and be creative and take what we want and go, yeah, this is who I am in the bedroom. So it's going to be a little challenging, but you just have to push beyond those limiting beliefs and roadblocks and acknowledge what triggers those limiting beliefs or inhibitions to show up and move beyond the trigger, move beyond the feelings and emotions attached to it. And it really requires a level of presence and awareness in your every moment. And a simple analogy that I give people is if you have an underlying belief that, you know, sex is dirty, then start paying attention to your actions. In the midst of sex, after sex, do you immediately get up and run to the bathroom and feel you need to wash off or you can't go to bed that way, or like you just feel dirty and you've got to go wash yourself? If so, that implies that that underlying belief is still there, even though you may have not had the thought that, okay, sex is dirty, I feel dirty now, I need to go clean myself. It's an automatic behavior that we do. So oftentimes with the trauma and with these limiting beliefs that we bought into in our childhood, a lot of those unconscious beliefs are still running, which make us act and do things that we're kind of unaware of why we're doing. So again, it's really tuning into what are we doing, what are we saying, what are we thinking in the moment that's stopping us from being able to choose something different. Because if we want to create a different reality, we have to make a different choice than what we've made before. So this could be an entire hour-long conversation that I could have with her, but I think those are a few pointers that will really help her, you know, kind of move beyond the blocks that she's encountering.
That's powerful. Because I know a lot of women, especially women that have been abused, you know, find it difficult once they finally, you know, found someone that they trust enough to build a relationship on, but sex is an issue because they're still kind of mentally stuck in that, you know, time frame of sex being, you know, something where they have no power or they go the opposite way and they want to take all the power. You know, it's kind of that, it's a give and take, I guess, thing where, you know, you go to one zone or you go to the opposite.
Absolutely. And whether it's physical trauma or mental and emotional trauma with all the beliefs and judgments we put on ourselves of like, oh, I'm a good girl, I can't do that, that's trauma to our bodies as well. And no matter what thought, feeling, emotion, belief, or physical trauma that you encounter, that actually gets stored in your cells. So it's not just a mental thing, but now your body is actually holding on to that trauma. And oftentimes certain smells, certain sounds, certain behaviors, actions, words can actually trigger that. So it's almost like you're reliving that traumatic experience because your body cells are hanging on to it. Now, the beauty of your body is that it is changeable. So whatever is being stored in your cells through this process called cellular memory, it can be changed. It doesn't have to be permanent. And the way to change what is being stored in your cells is actually through touch. So what I would tell her partner is that the more he can consciously and lovingly touch her body, that can start to emotionally re-imprint what is stored in her cells. And it will actually re-imprint all the way up to the limbic system in her brain, which is where it stores all the emotions attached to that trauma. So I do have future courses that are coming out on teaching people how to touch, because unfortunately, if we look at the way that society does sex, it's a very unconventional way of doing sex. It's a very unconscious way of doing sex. It's the wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. There isn't that presence, the level of connection that, you know, most people, we've disconnected from our bodies, but the body judgment, the beliefs and programming, that we can't even feel a light feather touch. But deep down, that's really all our bodies are yearning for, is that light feather touch that just sends the tingles, you know, racing through our body. That really is orgasmic living.
Yes, exactly, exactly. I know for me, that's important. And I don't want to, not all men are the same, so guys, I'm not bashing you. I don't think all men are, and I don't think all women are the same, you know, the same either. But I know some of us, we crave that touch. Like you said, it's become more of a wham, bam, thank you, man, and men may not feel that that's the way they come across. And because, like you said, there's this lack of communication between partners, you or your spouse, one of you may be feeling some kind of way, but no one's really able, or, you know, society says you can't talk about it. You just do this act and it's just done and that's it, you know. But it should be beautiful. It should be something that's mutually stimulating and pleasurable for the both of you.
Absolutely. And what you mentioned earlier about, you know, women have this power and oftentimes we give it up. Women literally are the guiding lights in the relationship. So if you desire your sex life to be different or to be changed, women are the ones who hold the key to the power to actually change that. Because men are just kind of going along. They're like, oh, okay, well, you're not asking for what you want, so I'll just keep doing this because obviously you like it. When if women would step up and start asking for what they want and showing the men, hey, what about this? What do you think of that? And start opening that box of a different reality and exploring possibilities together, you know, looking at different ideas online or maybe even going to the extent of just browsing some porn to get some different ideas or different positions, how you can spice it up and go, hey, we've never tried that. Maybe I would like that. And the women are the ones who really can introduce men to a new way of doing sex.
I don't think that men are as negative about their woman speaking up and saying what they want as we convince ourselves that they are. We have this, you know, preconceived notion that if I tell him I want to do X, Y, and Z, he's going to think different of me. More than likely, he's going to be
right.
Excited that, oh, my goodness, she's telling me what she wants.
I have a Facebook group for just men, and when I first opened it, I was amazed because all of my female clients, I've had so many different Facebook groups just for women, and a lot of the complaints that I get is, well, you know, my man doesn't communicate with me. How do we start this conversation about sex? And the moment I opened this group for men, it was like men were swarming to it, and they started just freely admitting things and talking, and I'm like, oh, my God, men are willing to talk about their sexual needs, wants, and desires. And the biggest question, because I posted a question, I'm like, men, if you could ask anything, if you need advice on any one topic, what would it be? And the majority of responses was, how can I get my woman to ask for what she wants? How can I get her to introduce me to new things that she likes? How can I help her explore her turn-ons? How can I get her to initiate and have an imagination and be willing to take it to that next level? I'm like, wow, interesting. All right. So men secretly are wanting that. women are just afraid to step up, like you said, because we have these preconceived notions, but really those are just limiting beliefs that we've bought into from society that we have to move beyond. We can't listen to what's between our two ears. We have to go, nope, let's move beyond that. I'm just going to choose whatever I want to choose, which is using my voice, asking for what I want, being creative, initiating.
Yes, yes. We have a couple of minutes left, but I definitely want to keep in touch with you. We definitely want to bring you back for a longer show, because I'm sure that there are probably people who have some questions for you and would love to talk to you, and I would just love to get more. I mean, this is definitely more than a half an hour conversation, you know, about this, because I think it's important. It's and I would love to get Hubby's side in here, but he is out busy in the yard. It kind of got to a late day, and he had to cut the grass and stuff like that. So, but I would love to get the male's perspective in on this conversation. So I would love to have you back at a later date if you'd be open to that.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is only the tip of the iceberg, darling.
Definitely. But in the meantime, in between time, where can people find out more about you? And does everything have to be in person? Like, you're in California. So, I mean, I'm sorry, you're in Phoenix. I'm looking at my phone and it's saying California. And you're in Phoenix. So if someone was, you know, in Texas or something like that, could they still, you know, work with you?
Absolutely. So I have a couple different things. Number one, everybody can find me at my website, orgasmicalmedicine.com, and it's spelled just like it sounds, orgasm with I-C-A-L on the end, and then medicine.com. I'm also all across the board on every social media site, from Facebook to Twitter to Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, you name it. But yes, I do work online. So I actually offer online courses so that people can take courses from the comfort of their very home. They can process or progress through the course at their own pace. They can come back and log in and revisit the course. And I offer courses on everything from body image to relationships to female sexual fitness and male sexual fitness. I also have 3 ebooks that they can download. An ebook on Who Stole Your Sexual Energy, which talks about the history of sexual energy and why it's so powerful and how you can reclaim it. And then a special sexual fitness handbook for men and one just for women. And then, of course, I do private sessions over the phone and whatnot for people who desire to have that one-on-one time with me.
Oops, I'm sorry. I was talking on mute. I'm so sorry. I was like, wait, no one's saying, okay. So what I was saying was, thank you so much for tuning in. And I was also thanking Catherine for linking us up, because she sends me, you know, some awesome guests on a regular basis, people that I probably would not have heard of, people probably that are listening to the show and that come back and listen to the archives would not have heard of either. And I totally, totally appreciate her and, you know, all of her guests, all of her clients that come in, and, you know, people that are associated with her that she sends my way, and I'm sure there are a whole lot of other radio shows as well. So I thank you so much, Shelly, for, you know, opening yourself up to my listeners and your business and what you do up to our listeners. And I'm definitely going to keep in touch, definitely, definitely. I have shared your link, and I'm going to share your information on our website, on Facebook, our Facebook page, Tony and Kai Show, and on our SweetReadsMagazine.com website as well. Well, SweetReadsMagazine.web.com website as well. And we will definitely be in touch to talk again. And in the last couple of minutes, if you could say, you know, something real quick to the people, what would be some type of advice that you could give?
I would say to let go of all of your limiting beliefs that you have around sex, bodies, pleasure, relationships, what it's supposed to be like to be a woman, what it's supposed to be like to be a man, all the societal programming. And if you're unsure of what beliefs you have running, step one is to start looking at, what did I learn in my childhood about masturbation, pleasure, bodies, sex, orgasms, being a woman, being a man, what it looks like to be in a relationship, what is marriage? And just start a list of all the different beliefs that you were taught, that you were fed, that you actually witnessed. And that's how you'll know that you do have some limiting beliefs running that may be creating what you're creating in your everyday life. So start questioning your beliefs. As the Buddha says, question everything. Don't believe anything true or real until you question it and you decide, yes, I'd like to have this belief as mine. And then from there, just start enjoying life, where every sip of water, every breath you take is absolutely pleasurable, juicy, and orgasmic. And thank you so much, Kai, for having me on here. It was such a joy, and I look forward to chatting with you soon and seeing what other possibilities we can come up with and create for the world.
I did it again. Shelly, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I knew you were going
to
click over.
To lock out the sound of the lawnmower in the background. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So, again, thank you very much, Shelly, for tuning in and for being part of the show. Oh, my goodness. This is so not like me. Okay, I'm not using the mute button anymore. Thank you so much for being here. And we are definitely going to have you back again and again. Oh, Lord Jesus. Stay cool out there in Phoenix. Have fun and have a blessed week, hon.
You too, darling. Bye, gorgeous.
Bye-bye.
Shared Saturday showers like these are so sensuous, satisfying, wonderful. He leads me through dark hallways and we carry on hushed conversations. This relationship went from friendship to lovers to slaves to paving the way for something magical between us. I anticipate our meetings from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. I daydream about how he will stretch the seams of my two-piece suit. He suits me well to a T. He is me all over. I love the slow way he moves into my space, how he erases 8 hours of agitation with penetration through breath and tongue. He makes me dinner for one with me as the main course. And of course, it took 5 long years to reach this stage through engagements and wedding bells. We've been to hell and back, but now he is my star, my wind, my sky. He is my lover, my daddy, my friend. He is me all over. He is me.
At 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, blogtalkradio.com, Tony N. Kai Show. Join us on Facebook, Tony N. Kai Show, or email us to find out how you can be a part of this show, Tony N. Kai Show at yahoo.com. Be blessed, everyone.